money. So Facebook being used to fund the military. What do you think of that?
You're right. But that's not unusual. In fact, several Facebook groups raising money for the Ukrainian army spread around early March, asking people to donate money for local military units.
So that's the story patriotism hires social media in Ukraine. That's Russia. Well, that's not a surprise, really. Your hot, tidy bedroom, which is where the custom comes from. May, you brought this to our attention because you spotted the Saudi version of the first kissed video, which has been hugely shared this week.
Yes, it's a parody of the first kiss video that went viral, and it shows men who supposedly don't know each other both kissing each other. And it has over 500,000 shares, and it's been already shared on Facebook and Twitter.
It's quite funny, isn't it? It's like these guys going in for a nose kiss. We'll get to what that is in a second, and then getting all awkward about it. Many people out there will have seen the original fourth kiss video, which is from the US. That's had over 70 million hits on YouTube. But this is the kind of Saudi response to this global cultural conversation, really, made by young TV producers. Okay, I know Arab guys kiss each other on the cheeks, they kind of air kiss on the cheeks. But is nose kissing really a thing? And really, what is it?
It really is. It's a traditional Bedouin way of greeting in the Gulf, where a man will have his nose gently touch another man's nose while making a sound of kissing.
Okay,
so like that.
Nose knocking on a bit more.
Yeah.
Probably.
It's also, just
to
mention, it's a sign of respect.
Oh, I see. I have those kids on my editor on my app. But there's some pretty funny stuff. And one interesting thing is that in Saudi, YouTube has become a venue for, as it is in other places too, just an incredible amount of comedy. I spoke to Hatun Kadi. She's a Saudi comic who is pretty big on YouTube. And I asked her about this video and about whether people in her part of Saudi really do nose kiss.
Not in the Western region where this video was made. So it was kind of awkward when people were trying to do it because they had never done it before. If I'm not used to it, it is awkward.
I mean, I have to say, you know, if I was going to be rubbing noses with somebody, I'd probably find it a bit awkward.
Yes, it is.
I mean, in a way, this was a Saudi response to this global meme, you know, this first kiss video, this first time, and then people like those response videos.
Yes.
But why couldn't they just do that, like the original first kiss?
Well, this will be very socially unacceptable. If you have noticed that the number of dislikes on these videos were a lot, because some people thought mimicking a video about, I mean, nose rubbing, is kind of like they are making fun of this social habit. So that's why I think the number of dislikes was a lot. People are a little bit sensitive about this.
When you say dislikes, you mean negative comments?
Yes, negative comments. But doing a first kiss, no, I don't think this is at all acceptable. It's not there. No.
Well, you're originally from Yemen, as trending listeners will know, also in the Gulf. Do you think that these kind of YouTube videos are just guys trying to be funny? Are we reading too much into them if we say that actually they're about some kind of social or cultural debate in countries?
There's a very serious social movement on YouTube and social media. And because government has such tight control over traditional media, it has pushed young people to alternative platforms, and in this case, it's YouTube.
Right, so first kiss was funny and touching. Hold on. You all, especially Shakira, or Multas Gracias, as they say in Catalan. And Shakira, I know you speak Catalan because you've been attacked for singing in the language right now on Twitter for us in Spain. If you can't wait till next week for more sharp social media insights like that, then stay with us all week at bbc.com/trending. Bonjour et bienvenue à Pêche au Moins sur le service international de la BBC. Je suis Wesley Stevenson.
Et je suis Charlotte McDonald.
Christophe, ça peut paraître incroyable, mais Londres est la sixième ville française. Plus de 200 000 de nos concitoyens.
That's enough for the French. And just in case you didn't get that, this is More or Less on the BBC World Service. And I'm Wesley Stevenson with Charlotte McDonald. Now that clip that you heard there is from French radio in 2008. You don't understand? Well, listen to these clips broadcast in the UK earlier this year, quoting the same facts.
there are so many French people living in Britain these days that London counts as France's sixth biggest city.
London being France's sixth biggest city, yeah. And the French consulate says 400,000.
And here's the Mayor of London, Boris Johnson, recounting when he met Alain Juppé, the Mayor of Bordeaux.
Well, he said that we have 239,517 people in Bordeaux. Therefore, he had the honour of representing the ninth biggest city in France. So I got the ball back very firmly over net, folks, because I said there were 250,000 French men and women in London. And therefore, I was the mayor of the sixth biggest French city on earth. I can't remember exactly what he said then.
Boris Johnson says there are 250,000 French people in London. Some estimates say 300,000 to 400,000. But are there really that many?
Now, before we tell you if it's true, there are a few things you need to know. There's a long-standing rivalry between the UK and France. It goes back hundreds of years. Which country can boast to be more successful, more sophisticated, more advanced? And obviously it's Britain.
You can't say that.
But London is the sixth biggest French city illustrates a popular idea that the UK's capital is booming. It's good for entrepreneurs, easy to set up a business, and there are more jobs, while France is stagnating.
The idea that the French community in London is bigger than most French cities had that the French press were discussing it again.
So we thought this was a good opportunity to see how true it really is.
The figure that crops up most often is about 300,000, which is attributed to the French embassy in London. But when I called them up, they said this figure is actually for the whole of the UK, though they did say that the majority would be in the capital.
The problem is we also got in touch with the UK's Office for National Statistics, often known as the ONS, and their figures are actually different. They carry out a household survey once a year, and according to the most recent figures, there are less than half that amount, around 123,000 French nationals in the whole of the UK, and only 66,000 are in London. We spoke to one of their statisticians, Pamela Dent, to ask her how sure she was of their figures.
ONS publishes competences to give an indication of the reliability of the estimates. So, for the estimate for French nationals living in households in London, it's 66,000, with a margin of error of plus or minus 13,000. So this refers to the 95% confidence interval and shows the range over many repeats of the sample in which we would expect the true value that we're trying to estimate to lie 95% of the time.
So, they're pretty sure their figure's right, but these ONS household surveys don't count everyone. Students in halls of residence or people in care homes, for example, are left out.
But even if we look at recent census data, which does include these people, we only reach a figure of 86,000, not even close to the 300,000 originally quoted.
So, we're a bit stuck at this point. The ONS are absolutely sure about their figure, but the French embassy are sure about their figure too. How did they count the number of French citizens in London?
Here's a nice spot, I got invited along to the embassy buildings in Knightsbridge to meet press spokesperson Xavier Châtel. He was very smart, very polite. He agreed to talk to me about the numbers.
I think there is no single absolute authoritative measure. This is Europe, so people are free to go, they're free to go, and therefore there is a certain degree of uncertainty about the exact number. However, if we proceed methodically, we can try to converge towards a reasonable estimate.
He told me they looked at a number of different sets of data. For instance, information from the UK's Electoral Commission, from the government's Work and Pensions Department, from the Census, and a number of other sources, including the consulate's own register of people who've been in touch to say they live here in the UK.
We reckon that the number must be roughly in the 270,000, that is 90% of the 300,000 French people present in the UK.
And when you say London, what do you mean? Central London or...?
It would be the Greater London area, that is London itself, plus the sort of south-eastern quadrant of the UK, including Kent, Oxfordshire, maybe Sussex too.
So, hang on a minute. About places like Oxford, a city in its own right, which is about 80 miles away from London, and Sussex, which is a county that stretches right down to the English Channel.
I spent quite a long time asking Dougie how the numbers reached. He was very patient, but we did keep going round in circles. circles.
But it's not just about how many French people are in London. We also need to find out the size of French cities. But it turns out that's not very easy to define either. Here's Eric Albert. He's correspondent for the French newspaper Le Monde, and he's also been looking into this issue.
I feel that comparison is difficult because cities in Britain are a fairly wide administrative limit. You know, Greater London is way bigger than Paris. So you have to compare the urban areas of France with British cities.
So, using the figures from the UK's Office of National Statistics, we've worked out London's real ranking. And on that basis, London ranks lower than 60th on the list.
Even if you use the figures the French embassy gave us, London's still only the 23rd biggest French city, which doesn't make for a sexy headline.
No, not really. Although it was kind of fun to delve into the number of French people that are in the UK, there's also a political point here. The fact is taxes are too high, jobs are too limited, and opportunities for entrepreneurs are better elsewhere.
It's true that the unemployment rate is lower here in the UK than in France, but are taxes really lower? Eric Albert again.
It's rubbish. It's rubbish. Income tax is roughly the same in both countries. Actually, if you have children, you're better off in France, because the number of children you have is part of the calculation of your income tax in France. But there is an exception for the very, very rich people, so there's a famous non-don. But frankly, if you want to move out of France because of tax, you're not coming to Britain. You're going to some other jurisdiction. It might be Switzerland. London would not be the place for tax evasion.
But there's one final thing here. People are leaving France, and in greater numbers than ever before. In a recent article in the New York Times, it was argued that this number had risen 60% since 2000, another sign of France's decline.
But Liam Bougard, who runs a blog in France called Rude Baguette, which kept an eye over French tech startup companies, says that this figure is meaningless without any context.
The most recent EU statistics put France at number 5 in Europe for percentage of citizens living outside of the country, with the UK actually in first. And so I think that puts in context a little more whether France is an outlier or really just an example of the fact that Europe enables people to be mobile.
So London isn't France's 6th city, and it possibly isn't even in the top 60. And perhaps the reason for France's decline is just a little bit exaggerated.
And thanks for listening. If there are any numbers you'd like us to investigate or explain, do please email us. Our address is moreorless@bbc.co.uk. And you can also sign up for a free download of this programme at our website, bbcworldservice.com/moreorless.
No.
Dis-le en français.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Freedom 2014 on the BBC World Service. Over the last few months, we've been exploring what freedom means in today's world.
Freedom to me is not conforming to society.
Being able to voice your opinion.
And there are no gates that can restrain you.
Now we have a day of broadcast for the fame of freedom with poetry, music, and debate. Freedom Live, Tuesdays at 5 GMT. BBC World Service, the world's radio station.
My name is Carmen Bugan. The man who went looking for freedom is the story of my father,